greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. On this Thanksgiving holiday here in the USA, big thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
In National Basketball Association news, Cleveland Cavaliers forward Kevin Love set a league record for points in a first quarter by scoring 34 on Wednesday night against the Portland Trail Blazers. For our VOA basketball fans, keeping score, Love was 3 points shy of the NBA record for most points in any quarter, set by Golden State Warriors guard Klay Thompson, who scored 37 in the third quarter in a game last year. And for those VOA listeners still keeping score, let's not forget the score of that Cavs-Blazers game. The defending champion Cavaliers beat the visiting Trail Blazers 137-125. Cleveland improved its record to 11 wins and 2 losses, while Portland now has 8 victories and 9 defeats. And let's show some more love for Kevin Love. He made 11 of his 14 field goal attempts in that record-setting first quarter, including 8 of his 10 three-point shots. Overall, Love ended up with 40 points in the game. Cleveland superstar LeBron James also had a big game. LeBron recorded his 44th career triple-double with 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 13 assists. It was a busy night in the NBA with 13 games. Let's run down all of Wednesday's results. The Memphis Grizzlies beat the host Philadelphia 76ers 104-99 in double overtime. Spanish star Marc Gasol, whose older brother, Pau, plays for the San Antonio Spurs, scored a game-high 27 points for the Grizzlies. And speaking of the Spurs, they won their 7th consecutive game, beating the host Charlotte Hornets 119-114. Kawhi Leonard had a game-high 30 points for San Antonio. Elsewhere, the Phoenix Suns scored a 92-87 road victory over the Orlando Magic. The Boston Celtics also won on the road, beating the Brooklyn Nets 111-92. The Atlanta Hawks also won on the road. The Hawks spread their wings and defeated the Indiana Pacers 96-85. The host Detroit Pistons rolled to a 107-84 victory over the Miami Heat. The Toronto Raptors defused the host Houston Rockets 115-102. In Texas, the Los Angeles Clippers cruise past the host Dallas Mavericks 124-104 in a matchup of the teams with the best and worst records in the NBA. The Clippers improved to 14 wins and 2 losses, while the Mavericks have 2 wins and 12 losses. In an all-California matchup, the Golden State Warriors put on a spectacular offensive show, beating the visiting Los Angeles Lakers 149-106. Two-time league most valuable player Stephen Curry had 31 points. Kevin Durant scored 28 points. And Klay Thompson, who I mentioned earlier, added 26 points for the Warriors. In Louisiana, the New Orleans Pelicans beat the visiting Minnesota Timberwolves 117-96. Pelicans star Anthony Davis finished with 45 points and 10 rebounds. The Utah Jazz snapped a 4-game losing streak with a 108-83 victory over the visiting Denver Nuggets. And in one more result, the host Sacramento Kings beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 115-101. DeMarcus Cousins had 36 points and 13 rebounds for the Kings. Meanwhile, former NBA stars Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar were honored here in Washington this week. Jordan and Abdul-Jabbar, along with longtime Los Angeles Dodgers baseball broadcaster Vin Scully, were the sports personalities who received the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Obama. The medal is the highest civilian award here in the USA, and it recognizes those people who have made, and I quote, an especially meritorious contribution to the security or national interests of the United States, world peace, cultural or other significant public or private endeavors. Let's listen in now to President Obama's remarks about Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Here's how great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was. 1967, he had spent a year dominating college basketball. The NCAA bans the dunk. They didn't say it was about Kareem, but it was about Kareem. When a sport changes its rules to make it harder just for you, you are really good. And yet, despite the rule change, he was still the sport's most unstoppable force. It's a title he'd hold for more than two decades, winning NBA Finals MVPs a staggering 14 years apart. But the reason we honor Kareem is more than just a pair of goggles and the skyhook. He stood up for his Muslim faith when it wasn't easy and it wasn't popular. He's as comfortable sparring with Bruce Lee as he is advocating on Capitol Hill, or writing with extraordinary eloquence about patriotism. Physically, intellectually, spiritually, Kareem is one of a kind, an American who illuminates both our most basic freedoms and our highest aspirations. When he was 5 years old, Michael Jordan nearly cut off his big toe with an axe. Back then, his handles needed a little work. But think, if things had gone differently, Air Jordans might never have taken flight. I mean, you don't want to buy a shoe with, like, one toe missing. We may never have seen him switch hands in midair against the Lakers, or drop 63 in the Garden, or gut it out in the flu game, or hit the shot three different times over Georgetown, over Elo, over Russell. We might not have seen him take on Larry Bird in horse, or lift up the sport globally along with the Dream Team. Yet MJ is still more than those moments, more than just the best player on the two greatest teams of all time, the Dream Team and the 1996 Chicago Bulls. He's more than just a logo, more than just an internet meme. It's more than just a charitable donor or a business owner committed to diversity. There is a reason you call somebody the Michael Jordan of. Michael Jordan of neurosurgery, or the Michael Jordan of rabbis, or the Michael Jordan of outrigger canoeing. And they know what you're talking about. Because Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of greatness. He is the definition of somebody so good at what they do that everybody recognizes him. That's pretty rare.
President Obama presenting the Presidential Medal of Freedom earlier this week to basketball greats Michael Jordan and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar here in Washington. World football's governing body, FIFA, released its latest set of monthly rankings on Thursday. Lionel Messi and Argentina are ranked number one. And let's give another sunny side of sports shout-out for Messi, who scored both of Barcelona's goals Wednesday in a 2-0 UEFA Champions League victory over host Celtic in Glasgow, Scotland. Five-time champion Barca clinched first place in Group C with the victory and advanced to the knockout phase. But back to the November FIFA rankings. Argentina's big rival Brazil is number two, followed by Germany, the reigning world champion. Chile, which beat Argentina earlier this year in the Copa America Centenario final here in the USA, is ranked number 4, and Belgium is ranked number 5. Rounding out the top 10 teams in the world, according to FIFA, we have Colombia at number 6, France is number 7, Portugal is 8th, Uruguay is 9th, and Spain is 10th. The highest-ranked African team is Senegal at number 33 overall. Ivory Coast and Tunisia share the number 34 overall position. Each has 738 ranking points. Egypt is number 36 overall, and Algeria is number 38. Rounding out the top 10 African teams, according to FIFA, the Democratic Republic of Congo is 47th. Burkina Faso and Nigeria share the number 50 position. Each has 616 ranking points. Ghana is 53rd overall, and Morocco is 57th. This evening, we continue our look at Bruce Arena being brought back to coach the U.S. men's national soccer team, ranked 28th overall in the November FIFA rankings. The 65-year-old Arena replaced Jurgen Klinsmann, who was fired earlier this week. Arena previously coached the USA from 1998 to 2006, and he is leaving Major League Soccer's Los Angeles Galaxy Club to return to his national team role. Bruce Arena is the only coach to win 5 MLS titles, 3 with the Galaxy in 2011, 2012, and 2014, and 2 with DC United, the MLS club based right here in Washington in 1996 and 1997. Arena has also been successful at the collegiate level. He won 5 national titles at the University of Virginia. Bruce Arena talks about succeeding Jurgen Klinsmann as the USA's head coach.
It's never the right opportunity when you have to replace someone. And obviously, I applaud all the hard work that Jurgen put in for a number of years. And the Federation made a decision to make a change, and I was honored to have an offer. But I think the time is right for me because I have the experience in qualifying. I understand the pool of players. I understand the obstacles that are ahead, and I think I'm much more prepared now than I was between 1998 and 2006. So hopefully I can be a good leader, get the team ready to play, and get our team qualified for Russia.
To qualify for Russia 2018, the USA will need to bounce back from World Cup qualifying losses earlier this month to Mexico and Costa Rica. Those losses left the Americans at the bottom of their qualifying group with no points and 8 qualifiers remaining. The USA's qualifying schedule will resume in late March 2017 with a home match against Honduras and an away match against Panama.
We need to win at home, so the game against Honduras is going to be critical. And my formula has always been 3 at home and 1 or 3 on the road, and that's going to be our approach each and every game. So at the very least, in the games in March, we want to walk away with 4 points and hopefully 6.
Bruce Arena will officially take over the U.S. men's national soccer team on December 1st. His contract goes through the 2018 World Cup. Financial terms were not announced. What's your next step, coach?
Next step is to be in contact with the current players in the pool. And obviously some of the key players. Visit them both domestically and abroad. Get a good understanding and have players ready when they come into camp either in January and March, and appreciate what our goal is and how important it is to play for the U.S.
The U.S. is bidding for its 8th consecutive World Cup appearance, and Bruce Arena is well aware the road to Russia 2018 will be a challenging one that could have more than a few potholes. Arena is scheduled to begin 2017 with a team camp in mid-January near Los Angeles, California.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America, VOA, Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament resumes on Friday in Cameroon with two Group A matches. In the first game, Cameroon will host Zimbabwe in the capital, Yaounde. The indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon have already clinched a berth in the semifinals on November 29th. They have the maximum 6 points from two matches. The Zimbabwe women, meanwhile, have 1 point, and they must beat Cameroon to have any chance of advancing. In Friday's second match, Egypt will play South Africa in Limbe, Cameroon. The Egyptian women are coming off their first ever Africa Women's Cup of Nations win, a 1-0 victory over Zimbabwe. Egypt will clinch a berth in the semifinals with a victory, while South Africa, with 1 point, must beat Egypt to have any chance of going through. In Group B results Wednesday, Ghana and defending champion Nigeria played to a 1-1 draw in Limbe, and Mali defeated Kenya 3-1, also in Limbe. Nigeria and Ghana lead the group with 4 points each, with the Super Falcons of Nigeria topping the table based on a +6 goal difference compared with Ghana's +2. Mali has 3 points, and Kenya, with no points, has officially been eliminated. In the final group matches on Saturday, Kenya will play Nigeria in Limbe, and Mali will meet Ghana in Yaounde. Joining us once again on the Thanksgiving Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports is my friend Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter. Andrew is in New York. Happy Thanksgiving and sporty greetings, Andrew.
Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, Sonny. Hope you're enjoying the holiday there in D.C. with all our listeners out there in Radio Land.
Now, Andrew, maybe you can tell our VOA listeners what a big sports day Thanksgiving is here in the USA. I mean, there is a real sporting element to the holiday. Can we say Thanksgiving and sports are trending on this holiday?
Absolutely. As you said, sports and Thanksgiving have been linked in the U.S. for over 100 years even, particularly with football. Actually, the first time that football was played on Thanksgiving, even between college teams, was way back in 1876. And it's been played pretty consistently since then on Thanksgiving. And this is a fun fact. The reason why they started playing it on Thanksgiving initially was because it was a day off, so everybody could go and watch the games. Back in 1876, there weren't a lot of ways to watch unless you were there in person or unless you read about it in the newspaper the next day. So they allowed people who had the day off to go and do that. But even in the National Football League since the 1960s and 1970s, every year on Thanksgiving, we've had two teams that have played, the Dallas Cowboys and the Detroit Lions. And it's become an American tradition where it's, you know, every year they host games on Thanksgiving. And in the past 10 years, the National Football League has added a third game at night. So you have three football games from about 12:30 in the afternoon right on through the night. It's about 12 hours of football that you get to watch. So it's very much a football holiday here in the U.S. as people kind of gather around with their families. They watch the games and they enjoy that. So we'll have the Detroit Lions hosting the Minnesota Vikings, the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Washington Redskins out of D.C., and in the night game you'll have the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. So very much a football holiday as far as the NFL is concerned.
And
even... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sonny.
I know the Redskins are, they've got a big fan base right here in Washington. And from a scheduling standpoint, Andrew, I guess the Redskins might be up against it in Dallas on this Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they do. It's as we're getting towards the end of the regular season and get towards the playoffs, there's definitely in the hunt. Dallas has done quite well for themselves. I think they only had one loss on the season. The Redskins are still in the hunt, trying to win some games and get to the playoffs. So it's going to be an even more fascinating game to watch, even more on the line. Already when football is played on Thanksgiving, it's already very exciting. But this is going to make it even more so, definitely.
Andrew, how else is sports trending on Thanksgiving?
Well, even outside of the NFL, you see people embracing football. You'll see a lot of folks, photos of folks tossing footballs around in the yard or playing kind of touch football. I think in American kind of lore and culture, the Kennedys, John F. Kennedy and his family, that was what they were known for, is they play touch football out on the lawn. And so that's become a Thanksgiving kind of tradition. You see a lot of friends, too, from high school who have gone off to university and now are coming back for Thanksgiving break. You'll see a lot of those games where they get back together and play. But even outside of football, it's a big sporting holiday because we have what are called turkey trots. And these are about, 5K foot races, kind of fun runs that people do usually on the morning of Thanksgiving, so hence the name turkey trot. And it's kind of a way for people to get out of the house, get some physical activity, maybe pre-burn off some of those Thanksgiving calories from all the delicious food that people are going to have later in the day and get out. So that's, and communities around the country have these turkey trots that people participate in. Oftentimes in very cold weather, especially up here in New York where I am, quite chilly today, but gets the blood pumping, gets people out of the house, and before they sit down and eat and watch football, they can do some physical activity.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. I was scrolling through my Facebook news feed on this Thanksgiving holiday, Andrew, and I came across, from a sporting perspective, a photo of the baseball great Babe Ruth. He's been dead for many years, but Babe Ruth holding a big turkey that he had shot. Looks like a very cold climate wherever he was, but the turkey, it looks almost as big as the Babe. I mean, it's a huge turkey, maybe like a 40-pounder.
Oh, goodness. Well, it's a turkey fit for a baseball great like Babe Ruth, for sure, it sounds like.
And he did have a prodigious appetite, Andrew.
Yes. So that 40 pounds, I don't know how many other people got turkey out of that other than Babe Ruth. But he was fed, at least, I think.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, as we talk about Thanksgiving and today being thankful, I'll tell you one person in the sports world who's very thankful today, and that's Kevin Love. Last night, playing the Portland Trail Blazers, scored 34 points in just the first quarter, hit eight threes in the first quarter. By the end of the first quarter, Portland had 31 points. Kevin Love alone had 34. He's, I'm sure, very thankful maybe for the poor defense of the Portland Trailblazers or thankful that he was hitting all his shots. But an impressive performance that a lot of people are noticing today, saying Kevin Love is on fire. There was one GIF that somebody posted on social media with a guy running on fire, and they said, Kevin Love right now. So he was absolutely on fire last night. However, he doesn't hit the record. The record was 37 points in one quarter, and that was Klay Thompson of the Golden State Warriors.
Another great shooter.
Yeah, so he didn't quite come to that record, but definitely an impressive one, and one that his Cleveland teammates were celebrating on the bench. You could see, videos of them online where they're jumping up after he scores, especially as he approaches that mark. So a lot to be thankful for Kevin Love for his great performance. So he, I think, has earned his turkey dinner and all the fixings and desserts and everything. I think he can treat himself to that today.
Well, Andrew, I hope you enjoy some Tom Turkey and fixings later today on this holiday.
Thank you very much. I will for sure. I might have to get out of the house, and if not a turkey trot, maybe just do some walking around, especially after I eat. I think that's a key part of the Thanksgiving holiday, is get out and get moving after all that good food.
Thank you, Andrew. Andrew Palcheski, the VOA social media reporter, joining us from New York. And that wraps up the November 24th Thanksgiving Day edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. And let me show a little attitude of gratitude. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
The fourth Thursday in November is a national day of Thanksgiving in the United States. The tradition is a very old one, dating back to the arrival of some of the earliest English settlers in North America in the 17th century, who, after their first successful harvests, paused to celebrate their bounty and give thanks for surviving their first terrible winter in what was then a wilderness. Falling in the autumn, Thanksgiving has much in common with harvest holidays in other nations and cultures, such as Vietnam's Trung Thu celebration and Homowo, the annual yam festival in Ghana. Still, with its turkey dinners, family gatherings, football games, and parades, there's something about the day that is distinctively American. Together with the 4th of July, when the U.S. marks its independence from Great Britain, it's a truly national holiday that includes all citizens in a common purpose, regardless of religious, political, or ethnic persuasion. It also is a time for people to look back at the year, take stock, and think about the future. With our nation dealing with crises in Eastern Europe, the Middle East, and West Africa, the year's looming uncertainties likely will be on many minds today. President Abraham Lincoln proclaimed the first official Thanksgiving amid similar serious circumstances, the American Civil War. But like their colonial ancestors, Americans are essentially an optimistic people. Surrounded by friends and family, today is in the past, they will enter into the spirit of the day, giving thanks for life's blessings and the promise of the future living in a free land.
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impulga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share the ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Feast with your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
The Voice of America, VOA.